You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Matt Wallace claims his maiden European Tour title with a wire-to-wire victory at the Open de Portugal at Morgado Golf Resort.
Overwhelming, unbelievable amount of support, and getting the trophy yesterday and just holding on to it, and I was like, this is what I play golf for. So I used the number 7 ball, which not a lot of people know, and it was my 7th win, and I just like, right, this is what I want to do. I want to do this on a big scale.
And there's more to come from our exclusive interview with the Englishman later in the show, so stand by for a full review of all the action from Portugal, plus we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Rocco Forte Open in Italy. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and this week I'm joined by a two-time winner on the European Tour and a low scorer himself when he got his putty boots on, Jamie Spence.
Hello, Roberto. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, very good, Jamie, very good. So we're getting into, I wouldn't say silly season, but the time when the European Tour comes back to the mainland and we kind of get kicked off into the summer, and we just started in Portugal.
You want to get your game going, don't you, this time of year, especially with the new Rolex series on the horizon with the BMW PGA Championship and all the great tournaments ahead of us through the summer. So this is a time to start finding your form.
And speaking of Rolex series at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, which is just over a week away, this was always going to be an opportunity for somebody to come from the pack and change their ranking, change their prospects, change how the year might shape up. Yeah, and it happened.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, dual ranking event with the Challenge Tour. And one of the Challenge Tour graduates, Matt Wallace, who played the Alps Tour, he was successful. He led from start to finish. That is not easy. I mean, he shot a fantastic first round. Was it 63?
10
first
under par.
Day, 10 under par. Yeah. Unusual for par 73 these days, isn't it?
Well, 10 under par and then 7 under par. 17 under for two rounds.
Fantastic, wasn't it? But and that's not an easy position to be in when... What did you say? When you're looking ahead, you can look ahead towards all these great tournaments coming up and thinking I could be playing in these. So, brilliant win for the young Englishman.
The birdies dried up on Saturday, score-wise. Then he goes into the final round, 3 shots clear. Despite being 17 under, he was only 3 shots clear. There's always pressure on that.
You're never safe. I think you need to be about 6 shots clear, personally, to make sure that you've
going
got
up
a
the
bit
last.
Of, you've got a bit of, yeah, it's going up the last, that's for sure. You need a bit of a buffer, and 3 shots isn't anything at all. You bogey to a birdie, suddenly there's only one in it. We've known that. We've seen people overturn far, far bigger leads than 3 in the history of the European Tour. It's never easy being in front, because sometimes, by the time you've teed off, you're not in front anymore.
Well, that's also very true.
That can happen on a regular basis. So, and suddenly that puts a whole new, you know, pressure on yourself.
And level through the first 6 in the final round. Steady enough, but you'd want to sneak a couple of birdies in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. But pars are prisoners when you've got that sort of lead. They're not going to hurt you so much. And you just got to keep your nerve, which he did, and wait for some birdies, and they came along.
American Julian Suri was trying to chase him down. 9 birdies in his first 15 holes, Jamie.
New name to me, Rob. And, yeah, obviously, if you come through with a rattle on the last day, it's amazing what can happen. You just start putting some pressure on the leaders.
Well, pressure it was, because the gap then was only 1.
Yeah, and that's, as you say, game on, isn't it? Especially going into the back 9, and anything can happen, but Wallace, pulled himself together and hit some great shots down the back 9.
Well, he hit a great shot into the 13th at the par 5. His 3rd shot with a 5-iron. That's pretty unusual these days.
Yeah, found trouble off the tee. Had to lay up, and you just never know when that good shot's coming. You always need that one good shot when you really need it in golf. People say, what's the difference? You know, what makes the player? Well, you've got to pull shots off when you really, really need one, and Matt did it there on the 13th.
Well, he did, and he tapped it in for the birdie. And then sort of at the same time, Suri made a mistake at 17. He had his only bogey of the day, and then the picture looked a little clearer.
Well, and, of course, they're not playing together, so, yeah. you're relying on the leaderboards a little bit. But if you're in front, you're imagining that everybody behind you is making loads and loads of birdies, so because that's the sort of mental state you can be in. But, I think once he birdied that 13th hole, Matt Wallace, and then Suri bogeyed 17, it put him in a far more comfortable position.
There were low scores out there. There was a 9 under par. Heisler had a 9 under par on Thursday as well.
Yeah, there's some good scores to be had. Well, when the weather's good down in Portugal, as you know, being a past Portuguese Open champion yourself, Robert, you've not mentioned that.
Well,
very unusual for you not to, you know.
I know. The fifth major does normally rear its head.
1987.
It's a great old
listeners,
trophy.
1987.
Though. Yeah, it's a great old trophy. Yeah,
long time ago.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It was quite a long time ago.
61 first round did you shoot when you won that?
I did.
Yes, I very did. Incredible. 27
on the front. On the
27
front
on the front nine. Just let people know. Well done, Robert.
That was. I was getting bored of them then. That was my second 27.
That was with hickories.
Yeah, it was hickories.
Hickories. Yeah.
But I had to use three gutta percha balls.
Yeah, with that. Yeah. For the whole week.
I kept fraying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You,
just
the power.
Power.
You
just,
would.
Just power.
Incredible.
Happy days.
Anyway,
happy memories.
Back to proper golf.
Famous old trophy, which of course
it
Matt
is,
got
yeah.
to lift. And how it must feel to him, because when you're leading like that and you've played 2 days unbelievable golf. And then someone gets so close to you in the final round like they did, like Suri did.
Yeah, you're going to panic a little bit. It's only human nature.
Of course.
Because you know what's ahead of you. Do you know what? I played in the Pro-Am a year or so ago at the Grove, and Matt was on the tee doing Beat the Pro. Nice lad. I know quite a few of the members of Moore Park who have been helping him out, one in particular, and they've been talking about him. He's good pals with Callum Shinquin. And so he's been waiting this time. Six
he
wins
can hit
on
it.
The Alps.
He can hit,
he
it,
can
by
hit
the way.
It, I know. Six wins on the Alps Tour. I don't care what tour it is. That's hard.
Winning,
on these developmental tours, that is not easy.
Winning anywhere where people are playing for either a leg up in their golfing careers or money or whatever is not easy.
It's a good habit to have.
Do you think winning five times in a row, I mean, it's amazing. So win five times in a row anywhere played a big part in being able to do this?
Incredible. Well, trying to win five pro-ams in the local circuit. Try and do that. You can't do it. It's very, very difficult. So to win on a proper golf tour, lots of aspiring young pros,
sure.
to be able to do that, you just get that winning feeling. You just get to learn how to shoot scores when maybe you're not playing quite so well.
That's the key, isn't it? When you have your down day, when the day that's not everything's not going your way and you manage to rescue a 75 into a 71 or whatever it is.
And he had that on Saturday, shot level par.
Yeah.
Obviously things, you know, got a little bit windy, wasn't quite going his way, but he managed to get himself together and shoot 73.
Yeah, fantastic win for Matt Wallace. Let's get some social media reaction. Thomas Bjorn, who's ever busy on Twitter, tweeted, "Well done, Matt, first of many, I'm sure." And Matt himself said, "Best week of my life. Thank you to all my family and friends." And I'm very pleased to say that joining us on the line now is Matt Wallace, the latest winner on the European Tour. An amazing week, Matt.
Oh, amazing. Really, really good fun. Best week of my life, really. And looking forward to what's coming around the corner.
Last year, on the Alps Tour, you won six events, five in a row. I mean, that describe the difference in standard between the Alps Tour and the Challenge Tour stroke European Tour.
There is a difference. You can tell, like, the quality of the players in the field, it goes so deep on Challenge Tour and the main tour. You still have to play really good golf on the Alps Tour. There's no doubt in that. There's maybe 20 players on the Alps Tour that can win the tournament each week. To do five in a row, though, was really, really impressive. I impressed myself. I couldn't believe it at the time. And this has kind of capped it off as well. This unbelievable this week.
What were you feeling like Friday night? I mean, you had two fantastic scores, 63, 66. Not yep. easy to sleep on that lead, is it?
No. Saturday was probably the hardest day of my golfing career. I felt great in my game, but the wind picked up and stuff like that can kind of throw you off. And my rhythm just wasn't there. I lipped out on a few putts and then people started to catch up. So I kind of like doubted myself a little bit, but I battled really, really hard, got it round in level par, which at the end of the day, I was like, well, that's the difference in my game in the last few years where I might have shot maybe two or three over par and then dropped back into the field, but I still had the three-shot lead. So I slept great on Saturday night, came to Sunday, and I was like, wow, I'm here now. I've got a chance, so let's take it. And bogey-free final round was really key for my success yesterday.
Matt, you know, when you had that day one, Thursday, superb round of golf, what was going through your mind when you were just rattling off the birdies?
I've done 10 under a few times. I think it's the fifth time I've done a 10 under. And every time, you're kind of in, like, auto mode. It's really weird. You pick the spot, Dale, my caddy, new caddy, he was just telling me the spot and I was hitting it and we were going to find it and then hitting it on the green. Some were really close. Some were in the spots that we were trying to just put it into. And every putt I looked at seemed to roll in. It was great fun.
I bet it was a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah.
So the impressive thing was after the amazing 10 under par round on Thursday that you went out. He didn't quite shoot 10 under the second day, but it was another very good round of golf. And quite often that doesn't happen.
It was difficult to get my head around how I was going to play the next day, but I probably played better the second day than I did the first day. My ball striking was right on point. A few tougher pin positions, which we didn't exactly attack on, and played a little bit smarter. But it was definitely the best ball striking day of my golfing career. And the 7-under was not better than the 10-under, but was right up there, even though we were three shots worse than it.
So yesterday, Matt, what time in the round do you think I can join the great winners of this tournament like Robert Lee? What sort of part of the tournament was that on Sunday?
I started to enjoy it coming down the 18th. I didn't really enjoy it up until then. I really tried to stay focused and nailed down because I wanted to win a Challenge Tour and a European Tour event for the whole of my life. So really stayed focused, rolled in a putt on 16 to go three shots clear. And I kind of thought, right, let's play smart. Let's play to centre the green. Let's play away from the danger of making any stupid errors. Managed to come down the stretch with a three-shot lead and just couldn't believe it, really. My head was all over the place, but it was the best feeling of my life.
Yeah, fantastic. I bet you're looking forward to the BMW PGA Championship now. What timing,
eh? I can't wait. I can't wait. I went last year and actually met Chubby, my manager, up there, and he said, you're going to be here one day, and it's only taken a year. So we had a little chat yesterday, and it was a nice little thing to reminisce about. We were only talking about it last year, and I'm going there in a couple of weeks' time.
So, you know, you go from the Alps Tour. So how much is a win on the Alps Tour? How much do you earn?
5,000, 6,000 for a win.
So well, that's euros. 5 or 6,000 euros, yeah, for a win on the Alps Tour. In a couple of weeks' time, or a little over a week's time, really, you'll be playing at Wentworth where the winning check will be over $1 million.
Yeah.
That's quite a run in 12 months. You must be you must be beside yourself with excitement.
I'm looking forward to like rubbing shoulders with those guys and competing against them. And it's the money's a great bonus, but
trust me, it is a bonus. The money,
the messages I've had this last like night and stuff, overwhelming, unbelievable amount of support, and getting the trophy yesterday and just holding on to it. And I was like, this is what I play golf for. And I used the number 7 ball, which not a lot of people know. And it was my 7th win. And I just like, right, this is what I want to do. I want to do this on a big scale. So,
well, I mean,
really looking forward to Wentworth.
Yeah, I mean, 7th win, 7 on the ball, maybe at the PGA 7 series.
That would be nice.
The first thing a golf pro does when he makes a few quid is change the car.
Well, I got a car a few weeks back. A couple months back, because the head gasket went on my old car, so I needed a new one anyway. And I've got a lovely car at home, and I wouldn't change it.
Now, Matt, I know you're from Moore Park. You must play a lot of golf with Callum Shinquin, who's
yep,
also on the tour. And what other mentors do you have from Moore Park or from the past?
Well, they've been fantastic for me this last few years. A couple of the members have managed to do some golf days for us, and we've got a lovely lady called Naga Manchetti, the BBC presenter, who is up there, and I talk to her a lot about the trouble she has from travelling and stuff like that, and the hard work she puts into all her job. And
she's a good golfer, isn't she? She's a good golfer, eh?
She's a very good golfer. And I don't know if you know that she was on Mastermind, I think, doing her specialist subject was the Ryder Cup from 1970 onwards and something. And she got all of her questions right. So her knowledge on golf is like second to none. But yeah, we got a good couple of people up at Moore Park, and Callum is a really good friend of mine. And if I can compete with him, especially in the distance category, he's right up there. And I'm sure he's going to pull it out of the bag this year and come in with a few good results.
Yeah, he gives it a rip, no doubt. You won't find that sort of golfing knowledge in this studio, that's for sure. Matt, who's your golfing hero growing up?
Well, I was in the era of Tiger Woods, so Tiger's my hero. But there's a few players on tour, so like Alex Noren, I love the way he works. We've got the same coach, so I've seen a lot of his swinging and his technique, so I love everything he does. And Robert Rock was here this week, and I love the way he swings it. So it's really cool to rub shoulders with these guys.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot more of that happening over the next couple of weeks. And the very next thing for you, I assume you might be going to Sicily.
I'm on my way to Sicily now. I'm in the security line, waiting to board a flight to Marseille, and then Marseille down to Sicily, where I'm actually staying with Callum this week.
Well, listen, Matt, your story has been an inspiring one. There's so many different ways to get there in the end, but if you are good enough, you will get there. You've done it. You're a winner on the European Tour, and the world's your oyster now. Thanks very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show, and all the very best for the rest of the season.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Rob and Jamie. Cheers, guys.
You can just hear in his voice, you know, he knows what's coming up, the excitement in his career that's right around the corner now after, you know, if you're on the Alps Tour, you're battling, you're grinding, that's what you're doing. Because you don't want to be there. You want to be Challenge Tour, then you want to be Main Tour.
Well,
he's there.
He had a card to play Challenge Tour, but it does sound like he surprised himself a little bit, which he would have done. I think the first round, 63, surprised him and suddenly thought, blimey, I could do this in a rush now. Why play all season on the Challenge Tour trying to get a card? I could do it here and now, and he did it. So is a totally different agenda now, looking forward. He's got this year and the next year as an exempt player, so he can plan his season. He hasn't got to rush around. So different problems for him, but when someone's,
good ones, though.
When someone's winning like this, you know, you just never know.
You should take notice.
Yeah, you never
know. It's like
know.
A guy who's playing Conference League football and he's knocked in 40 goals.
He can only win or score goals or whatever it is.
You've got to look at that.
Who's to say he's not going to improve, or does he need to improve?
Yeah, he's certainly going about things the right way, and it seems like he's got a team behind him. And,
definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and he's
and competition locally, which really helps pull yourself along together with Callum at the club. So, yeah, he's at a good club there as well.
Yeah, and it's a great story, Matt Wallace. Great story. It was his maiden European Tour win in just his fourth event at this level. And Matt Wallace is the second wire-to-wire winner this season after Sergio Garcia's victory at the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic. So that's a nice little trail for him to hang on to, isn't it? Him,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Sergio.
You put that on your CV.
You'd like that. The Masters champion.
Yes.
Yeah, you did the same thing as he did in Dubai. Tremendous. Jamie, top 10 from the Open to Portugal at Morgado Golf, please.
Well, tied 10th, Rob, was Marcus Armitage and the South African Erik van Rooyen. In 6th is Tapio Pulkkinen from Finland. Mark Foster, Oliver Fisher and Ben Evans. In 4th, the evergreen Sam Walker and Sebastian Heisel from Germany. Matthew Pavon from France is 3rd. Julian Suri from America was 18 under par in 2nd, but our champ with 21 under par, Matt Wallace.
And just a few other notables. Former champions on the European Tour, Robert Rock finished 12th. Tanner Goy was 18th, tied alongside Tom Lewis, who won in Portugal when he broke through. And good stuff from Alvaro Quiroz in the final round. 65 from the Spaniard, who must be hopefully getting back to something like his best form.
Some good German players, Rob, as well, isn't there? Sebastian Heisel there in 4th with Alexander Napper, Riethammer, Marcel Siems,
yeah,
playing better, Max Kiefer. You know, it's good to see the European countries now producing many, many good players through the Challenge Tour system.
It's the League of Nations now, because the French have got a good bunch
brilliant
of players.
Yeah, they've got some really good players.
Spain's getting very strong.
Spain's always been strong,
yeah,
hasn't it?
England's getting strong.
England's incredible at the moment.
Yeah. So it's great to see. And it's an exciting time to be around the European Tour, no doubt about that. Remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from Portugal, as well as other great social media content. Now, Jamie, because we weren't here last week, at the tipping situation, it took a quantum leap in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Because Dan Roebuck, in my absence, went for Justin Walters.
Brilliant
miscut.
Dan. Brilliant, brilliant.
The thing about Dan Roebuck's tips is he researches like you can't believe. He gets all the stats up, how many greens they've hit, most improved, strokes gained.
And then he picks the bookmaker's
favourite. And then he picked the bookmaker's favourite. He went for miscut Justin Walters, and his erstwhile sidekick, John Hawksworth, Ricardo Gouveia, former Challenge Tour champ. Very good player.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have gone for Gouveia.
Yeah, very good player. And he missed the cut.
Yeah.
So Roebuck and Hawksworth, if they were solicitors, you wouldn't go in their front door, would you?
No, they'd make a good... That's good solicitors, that Roebuck and
Hawksworth. Yeah, Roebuck and Hawksworth. It's got a little ring to it, but I think it's very down market.
Yeah.
I don't think they could cope with big business.
And they could be sued for their tipping advice.
Well, tipping advice, they're a couple of charlatans.
Yes.
Now, in the fancy race to Dubai game, Martin van Duren scored the most points this week. His side amassed over 159,000 points after having Julian Suri as captain and also including third place Matthew Pavon in his lineup. Mark Hyben still leads the overall global standings. Meanwhile, in our very own Race to Dubai show mini league, the Sean Ryder Cup listener Neil Munro registered the most points this week, but Neil Morrison still leads the way at the top of the table. Remember to keep an eye on EuropeanTour.com this week for the Fantasy 3 to watch at the Rocco Forte Open. Jamie, top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings. They won't have changed much.
10th is Fabrizio Zanotti from Paraguay. 9th, Rory McIlroy with his new clubs. Thomas Peters is 8th. Schwartzel in 7th. Ross Fisher 6th. Bernd Wiesberger in 5th. The Olympic champ, Justin Rose at 4th. John Rahm at 3rd. Looking forward to watching him play over here. Tommy Fleetwood at 2 and the Masters champion Sergio Garcia at number 1.
Thank you, Jamie. In other news, world-famous Northern Irish indie rock stars Two Door Cinema Club will be joining forces with Rory McIlroy for their only home appearance this year, with a special homecoming performance to open the 2017 Dubai Duty-Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation in July. For more information and details of where you can buy tickets, head to DubaiDutyFreeIrishOpen.com. On the PGA Tour, South Korean Siwoo Kim became the youngest winner of the Players' Championship after a three-stroke win at Sawgrass. The 21-year-old shot a 3-under par 69 on the final day to finish ahead of Ian Poulter and Louis Oosthuizen on 10-under par. So first of all, an amazing young player, Jamie. Got his card when he was 17 years of age and then couldn't play properly until he turned 18.
The players coming out now of South Korea, there's some fantastic talent. And he hasn't played well this year, Siwoo Kim. Won the Wyndham last year on the PGA. Had a really good end of season, actually. Did well on the Tour Championship, finished 10th there as well. So, but this year, he's not played well at all. You could never have picked him going into this week, I guess. But just show what a talent he was. He didn't back off either. Took a lot of shots on. Was at that par 5 on the back 9. He was on the bank of that bunker and he had a go at it with a long iron. That was gutsy. But 11. The 11th, yeah. I was trying to think of the hole. I thought it was 12 is a short 4, isn't it? Yeah, so, incredible win for him, really. And the whole week, really. None of the top 10 in the world came close, really, to winning. It's a strange course, isn't it, TPC? I think it's for some and not for others.
Yeah, I think you either get it or you don't. Yeah, it's one of those. But the finish, the last three holes are mega exciting.
Oh, yeah. 17 yesterday.
Well, let's start with Rafa Cabrera Bello. He makes two at the 16th. Albatross. No one's ever done that.
It was a trifle lucky.
Little bit fortunate. Let's be fair.
I like his reaction, though, running down the crowd.
A little Hale Irwin job. Yeah. So he makes two there, and then he hits it between the pin and the water on 17.
He pushed it. I need to talk to him.
I tell you what, if you're 15 feet left of that hole, you've pushed it.
Absolutely right. He's not aiming there, is he?
No, he's not aiming there.
Well, I hope he's not. He might. Maybe he is.
Well, let's hear from him.
I saw it kick off the bank of the bunker, and I was a bit worried at the beginning because it kind of felt that it shot a little too fast, and I'm like, oh, is that gonna go in the water now? Then I just saw it rolling towards the hole, like we see many times, like with shots they just roll, you never expect them to hit or to go in or anything. And then I don't know, I saw it like bump with the flag, and I didn't know what had happened, whether it had gone in or had it just stayed just like a foot away or something like that. So then I saw the crowd, saw that it had gone in, and just went crazy and enjoyed it.
The amazing thing was he threw his 8-iron up in the air, Jamie, and he tried to throw it straight and it went sideways into the lake.
Did he go in the lake?
He threw the 8-iron in the lake.
Did he? I didn't know that. I knew someone threw it up. I didn't realise he went in the lake.
He had to go and fetch it out. It was close enough that he could grab it, but it was in the lake. Yeah.
Well, I went to bed after Cabrera Bello hit it in the water on 18, the tee shot. I mean, that was miles in the lake.
Well, he goes 2-2.
I'll catch up in the morning.
You think he's going to make 6 there or something?
Oh, yeah, I think he's made 6.
He makes 4.
I know. You told me this morning. Couldn't believe it.
He makes
a long
4.
Putt, didn't he?
And speaking of miracles, Ian Poulter, who obviously was having a great week after a frustrating season with his medical and trying to get enough points to be valid on the PGA Tour. Brian Gay found out there was an error in the way it was worked out. He's now on tour. He gets in the players.
I hope he sent Brian Gay a little present.
I think he sent champagne first of all, but he found out that Brian likes red wine, so he's I think there's some coming, you know.
So there should be.
Yeah, a large, like the Heidelberg tun full of red wine. And Ian Poulter up the last.
Yeah,
it looked like a shank with the second into some little palm tree type vegetation. He had to take a penalty drop on the pine straw.
Yeah, we watched it this morning. Didn't we? What a shot over the trees.
Oh, through the canopy.
Yeah.
And stiffed it and made 5 and tied second.
Nearly went in for 4.
Well, let's hear from the Englishman who says it's a most welcome return to form.
It's been a roller coaster ride. There's been a lot of interesting things happening in the last 18 months, which haven't been very helpful for playing golf. You know, still a few of them we're working through. But I think when I look back and I say reflect on this week, it's been a big week. 2-3 weeks ago, been in a position where I wasn't playing the players and potentially didn't have a card to play and was, you know, looking to write, you know, nice letters to Jack for Memorial and, you know, all of those great tournaments that I'd like to play in. Things change pretty quick with good golf. And, you know, that's what I've done this week. I've played good golf. I think I've still got some work to do. The putter's not quite doing what I would like. So as good as this week was, I'm still going to, you know, try and dissect it and work on, you know, certain things that need working on the dreaded shank.
He has been suspect, though. He's liable to the odd shank. Throughout his career, I can remember him shanking a second
Masters,
shot at the Masters, 15.
Tee shot at the Masters as well, early on 6, I think it was.
Yeah, some players are prone to a shank, and Ian does sometimes.
Well, he likes to play with a cut, and he's quite steep, isn't he, Bolt? So he's got to get it just right. It hasn't stopped him doing some great things.
No, he's done
in
some.
The game. And how he's come back, really, is brilliant, really. He had a injury last year with his foot, and he's come back this year having to earn a certain amount of money. He didn't quite make it, and he's got a reprieve. But having a reprieve is one thing, but he's taken it, and I'm sure he's got enough now to keep his card for next year. So
I know he said he's going to dissect it. I think just keep going.
Well, his strength for me, Pulse, is from 120 yards in, and his putting. And I think he's been trying to hit the ball a bit too hard maybe over the last few years, trying to keep up with these long hitters. And but his strength is around the greens, and his pitching is he's been one of the best.
Yeah, great to see him playing some really good stuff again. And that's him done and dusted carb wise for next season. So yeah. So lots of great things for him.
Don't have to write to Sir Jack now.
He can just turn up now as a bona fide member of the PGA Tour.
Correct.
At Muirfield, and of course Muirfield Village, and of course that's not too far away now. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, Jamie.
Well, Ricky Fowler is number 10. Adam Scott, he's playing quite well, Adam Scott. He's number 9. Justin Rose sticks at 8. So does Stenson at 7. Jordan Spieth slips down 1 to number 6. Sergio is number 5. Jason Day is 4th. In 3rd is Hideki Matsuyama. Rory is 2nd, and about 5 points ahead at number 1, Dustin Johnson.
OK, next up on the European tours, we're into mainland Europe now, is the Rocco Forte Open in Sicily at the Verdura Resort. And it's been here before, Jamie, 2011. God, is that when it was? Is that how far back it was? That's 6 years ago when Torbjørn Ullesson won there. I remember him winning that.
Yeah, and they had another Sicilian Open the year after that where Raphael Jacquelin won. But they had one tournament on this course before, so it's good to get back there, par 71. Right on the sea, spectacular venue, 36 holes, plus they've got a 9-hole course as well, so it's a great golfing spot to go and play a bit of golf, and the boys are going to love playing the golf course this week.
They are, and it's one of those, because it's coastal, that you can get the right side of the draw coming in.
Well, you think this time of year, it's going to be hot, going to be quite warm, but you're right, Rob, it's going to be a time when the wind's definitely going to get up. Like all seaside courses, you want to be the right side of the draw, but hopefully it'll be the same Thursday and Friday for both sets of players, although... Again, you go through the Saturday, it's possible to go out sort of early morning, shoot a low one, and the wind really picks up and suddenly you're in the middle of the tournament.
But what's really nice is if you've got a morning time on Thursday, you go out and you shoot your 68, and then it really starts to get horrible in the afternoon. You just go back to your hotel because it's too windy to practice, going, go on, my son.
And giggle.
And laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's happened many times.
Yes, and it's also happened the other way many times. Yeah, God, those guys have, 68 wasn't much of a score this morning. Now you can't break 80.
Yeah, but it's got to be pretty substantial for that to take effect, really. I think once if it gets to about a 2-club win, then you know that the other guys have had it off, so to say. So it's unusual that it's that strong.
Okay. Give us a clue who's playing, because we know Matt Wallace is going there, the most recent winner in the European Tour.
Why can't he win again? I mean, we just he's the unknown, isn't he? He's the black horse of this field, really. That he's only played.
Well, winning back to back's not unusual to him after what happened last year.
No, it's not, and he's young and fit, so the travelling won't bother him. So yeah, he's got a great chance. You've got Trevor Immelmann's coming over to play. Matteo Manassero and Eduardo Molinari are the home challengers. Both in good form. Manassero's playing better. Molinari won in Morocco recently. A whole host of other players to talk about as well. Mike Weir, the ex-Masters champion, he's continuing his foray onto the European Tour. Bradley Dredge is simmering, I think. He's a good player.
That sounds like a pick to me.
Maybe.
You.
Your favourite, Nicholas Kolsarts, past champ Raphael Jacquelin. So, and maybe Callum Shinquin, Matt Wallace's mate, might just think, do you know what? I want to win one.
Yeah, I keep trying to find people that I've mentioned I should have picked him because we talked about him or
mind,
I saw him at the bus stop or whatever it was. I have got one of those.
I can't
for
believe you.
You
get on the bus.
No, I've got. I'm not quite
when
old enough.
When you get
enough.
On the bus,
I'm not quite old enough for the bus pass.
You're getting closer.
Well, I'm creeping closer. Yes, as we are, Jamie. As we are.
Who do you fancy then?
Well, I'm going to go for to keep going with the theme. There's a reason for picking somebody. I'm going to go for somebody I met recently for the first time. Sebastian Groh.
You've been talking about him for about a year and a half.
Yeah, I watched him hit some tee shots on the range at a Callaway day, the Kings of Distance, and he followed. Now, you don't want to follow or be anywhere near Joe Miller when he's hitting shots.
I've seen Joe.
Yeah. Joe managed on a cold day to get 150 mile an hour clubhead speed.
That's about five behind me.
Jamie, on a cold day.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
He's a big fella. And
what's his putting like?
I tell you, all's everything. But he's amazing watching him. So when you're hitting balls and you're anywhere near to when Joe Miller's hitting, you're not going to look that impressive. Sebastian Groh was impressive.
Yeah, but you've got to control your distances with your eye play as well.
Obviously, we know all the bits and pieces.
But I know he impresses you, so it wouldn't surprise me.
So because he impressed me, and I'm interested to see if he gets off to a flying Thursday. He hasn't had many flying Thursdays yet this year.
You need to have a chat with him.
I've had a chat.
Oh, you've had a
chat. I gave him some pearls of wisdom. Whether they were ignored or not, I do not know. So I'm back in Sebastian Groh this week against your Bradley Dredge.
No. I'll be interested to see his Thursday score after your chat.
Well, I've opened myself up now.
Well, I've written four down. Matt Wallace being one of them. Eduardo Molinari, another.
What do you mean, written four down?
Well, because you've got to go through it and just write a little list, and then you come up with a choice. Peshara Kongwatmai, the young Thai player, played very well in Perth. Good player, you know.
Yes,
he's a very good little player.
You know, we talked about the ones that are more obvious, like the English players, the French players, the Spanish players, the Belgian players, the German players.
Yes.
Thailand's getting a group of really good players as well.
Well, they are. This, what's he, 17, 18? Kongwatmai?
A lot of youngsters out there, yeah.
Fearless as well. So, you know, he could do well. I think someone you're going to keep your eyes on. But I'm going to go for the old war horse. I'm going to go for a player who I think is starting to play a little bit better, Raphael Jacquelin.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
He's the grandfather of French golf
now. I think he'll, you know, he's got good memories. He's won that. Not on this course. Not on this course, but. He's been playing a bit better lately, Jacquelin, and he's a good player.
It's Alain Le Bleu, it's Groh versus Jacquelin.
Correct.
Couldn't be better. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Rocco Forte Open and look ahead to the inaugural event in the Rolex Series, the BMW PGA Championship at the newly formed Wentworth, where, of course, you'll be able to tune into our ball-by-ball radio coverage throughout the week. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Raphael Jacquelin,
and myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Sebastian Groh, it's goodbye.